it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Tuesday, Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass today. DJ Bedhead, bah, 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 taking you up to 2 p.m. We have Kings. We have NBA playoffs. Nate's in the building, so we're talking Niners. John Lynch spoke yesterday about the future of their star receiver. Yes, Chris Watkins, star receiver, Brandon Ayuk, and whether or not he will still be in the red and gold. We also have some reactions from other Niners media members about what John Lynch had to say, and of course, our thoughts on it and your thoughts on it as well. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. The game from last night, Chris, I mean, two of the most exciting NBA playoff games, I think, consecutively that I've seen in a very long time. This the first slate over the weekend were a bunch of stinkers, and it ended with the Pelicans with a really good game against the Thunder, but no complaints from me today from yesterday's games. You had the Knicks find a way to beat the Sixers, and then you had the Nuggets find a way to beat the Lakers. I mean, once you get to 20 points, I'm turning the TV off and I'm switching back and forth. And I said, okay, end of the third, I'll watch the end of the third with the Lakers Nuggets. And as every team says, get it to 10 going into the fourth. That's exactly what the Nuggets did. And we will get to Lakers, Nuggets, and all the sound. Plenty of sound. Nate is going to be working hard today. We have plenty of sound to come out. And the Lakers crying. By the way, Chris, yes, before we go to Philly and the Knicks, I must say, we've done this conversation. One thing we didn't talk about yesterday was how Warrior fans, as much as they want to say that Kings-Warriors is not a rivalry, they spent their, what was that, Friday night tweeting at Kings fans, yeah, about the idea that Kings fans deserve to get roasted because Kings fans were giving it to Warriors, sure, fans, right? So we have this conversation between Laker fans and Warrior fans, who's more delusional, mm-hmm, who's more annoying. I don't even, at this point, I don't know if it's the actual fans for the Lakers that are more annoying or if it's the actual players and the coaching staff. They all whine. I think I'm getting that
attitude
confused.
Attitude reflect leadership,
yeah,
Captain.
Yeah, with the fans. I mean, the fans are annoying. Yeah. We get all that, but at least the Warrior players don't whine.
Right.
I know Draymond is Draymond, but the crying from the Laker fans, or excuse me, the Laker players,
crazy,
talking about the non-calls. Darvin Ham, he did the same thing last year. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't use this as an excuse talking about the fouls, but I'm going to bring them up anyway and use them as an excuse. So we will get into all that. But now that I did get on my little Warriors tangent, we didn't get to that yesterday with all the King stuff and the exit interviews. Did you see any of that? I put on my purple shield, and I'm going back and forth with Warrior fans. Mm-hmm. And all I simply posted was, if it's not a rivalry, why are Warriors fans spending their Friday night,
right,
beautiful Friday night,
right,
tweeting about the Kings losing?
One of the
losing.
First beautiful nights in
one of the most beautiful nights. And Chris, I got cussed out.
Yep.
I got blocked. My favorite is when somebody responds to you and they're so ticked off at you. Before you can respond back, you're blocked. So that happened to me. And that's all I asked.
Yeah.
That's all I asked. And everybody, you know, and look, I'm still cool with a lot of the people over there. And we understand it's all sports and in good fun. But they could not wait, Chris, to sit there. I saw people saying, I don't know who I want to win more. I kind of want CJ McCollum to lose, but the way Kings fans acted, I want them to lose. And my question this whole time was, what in your mind, Warriors fans, did you think was going to happen when you lost, right? It's all fine and good when you win and when you can say four rings and four parades and say your little brother this, that. My issue was simply that they acted like they would have just been cordial if they won. It's all fine and good. You can roast when you win, but the idea that Kings fans took it to some crazy level when they won was absurd to me. And I was on that side. I literally was on the airwaves when they beat the Kings. So stop it. Yeah. And that was a first round. That was a first round playoff. So, oh, well, this is the actual playoffs. Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. They're acting like they wouldn't. They would have let Sacramento have it if they won.
Oh,
they would have let them have it.
Oh, yeah. Twice in your own building. Oh, y'all are little
brothers
for life.
It would have been all day.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll even use I'll say one of Draymond's best quotes of all time. I'll use it right against him. They don't love you like that. You not Kobe.
No.
They really thought that they were, you know, like the old Bulls. They thought that, you know, when it crashed and burned, that it was going to be a respectful thing and we were going to tell legends of the Warriors run and all that. No, everyone's been praying on your downfall since you started. And the way that they came up, I don't think earned them any friends either. I definitely think the way that, you know, the whole KD situation and just how they've just conducted themselves this entire time. You know, and like you said, when you win, you have that right. You have that right to be loud and to be obnoxious. But you're tripping if you don't think that that it all comes back around. And I think right now and probably moving forward these next couple of years until the Warriors spark it back up, this is how it's going to be for them. People are going to take turns stomping on their grave because, frankly, sometimes quite literally, this is exactly what Steph and the boys would do. They would walk onto your home floor. They would say, "We take joy in quieting your home crowd." And then Steph would dance at center court. Mm-hmm. And that's how their run went for a lot of people in their minds, and especially in mine. That's how I think of that Warrior team is, yeah, they won a ton, but they also let you know it every single time they won. So now that they're on the losing end of it, you better believe you're going to get slander, and it's not going to stop now because this is what y'all kind of asked for when you were that and you guys were great. It was great. I hope you enjoyed the run, but we're really going to enjoy the downfall.
And the thing is, it's not even the players. I mean, the Kings fan, because it was a play-in, right? So you could make the argument that you could honestly make the argument that Steph did way too much for a first round playoff game last season.
He lit
the
beam.
He did the night-night, and the night-night was kind of left over from 2022. Are you still doing it?
Yep.
Well, what's the deal here? So if your expectations are a championship, why are you celebrating
a first round win against
if the Kings, as the kids say, such a poverty franchise, then why are you so bothered when they celebrate a play
in
win
in seven?
But I'm saying this season for the Kings fan to celebrate a play in victory, if you're saying they're a poverty franchise, then why you should expect this? So you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You cannot have it both ways, and Warriors fans. Chris, we were sitting there because we were in a different spot than we normally are.
Right.
So we were with the people. We actually requested to sit with the people.
I don't know about that.
Okay, maybe not. But we were with the people. And as Warrior fans are leaving, as they're leaving in, what was it, halfway through the fourth, what are they doing the whole time? Four. So that's what you do all the time, and that's fine. That you are a part of a franchise that won championships.
Right.
That's awesome. Everybody would love that. But don't get salty or act all high and mighty as if you wouldn't have been talking trash. That was the number one thing. Yeah, but Kings fans just took it too far. Well, what's too far? Anything would have been too far because you're just salty that you left.
Right. No,
and or that you lost.
They would have been the worst. And they would have been the worst if they won. So it's completely hypocritical for them to say that, oh, we're doing too much, we're being extra loud, when the entire reason all those Warrior fans were in Golden 1 Center was to show off in front of all of the Kings fans if they won. They were ready to be loud, be obnoxious, get people riled up. Like, I've seen that rivalry in that building one too many times, and I know how it goes. Those Warrior fans show up to flex. That's what they are there to do. They're not actually, well, of course they're there to have a good time and to watch their team win, but most importantly, the thing they want more than anything is to yell at the Kings fans next to them and tell them how they're a poverty franchise and how they're so much better because they made a decision 7 years ago
or
to
was
start
made
liking
for
the
them
Warriors.
By their parents.
Exactly.
So we didn't get to that yesterday because we had some great stuff with the exit interviews, but I woke up this morning. I thought, you know what?
Yeah, I was not expecting to start today with the Warriors.
We did not. We are not going to let them off the hook. This is from the 920. Oh, we know how. Okay, 925. I mean, that's my area code, so I know you're from the Bay. Shouldn't have trash-talked the Warriors for beating them in a play-in game, but definitely should rub it in their face that not only did we knock you out, but then we got the tie break in the draft. And they go on to say, bleep it, Dubs. That's from the 925. The 925, actually, Kings fan. Shout out to the 925. There you go. All right, we're getting into some playoff basketball talk. Philly versus Knicks. What did you see? The controversial end to that game. The Lakers trying to convince us that there was a controversial end to the later game. And the only thing controversial was whether Rui Hachimura or not was actually trying to make the ball in the basket and what happened there and how they blew a 20-point lead. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Speaking of, so Chris, I don't know if this is true or not for those out there, but the Kings won the tiebreaker in the draft to beat the Warriors to get the 13th pick. Was it actually a coin flip?
Yes. No, that's actually how the NBA determines these things.
Just like,
it's a literal coin flip. A
couple days ago, we were talking about Friday Night Lights. That's what it was when it was time for the playoffs.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
Good old-fashioned American coin flip.
There's just nothing that's as impartial as a coin flip. You know,
yeah.
It's got no favorites. It's got no memory.
Let me guess.
What up?
You're a Tails guy, aren't you?
Tails never fails.
You look like a Tails guy.
Never fails.
What do I look like?
You say it's going to land like, you know, straight up, and it's actually not going to pick heads or tails because you just root for chaos.
Yeah, that's also true. Like, that's also true.
Heads guy. So I take it that was a big heads guy.
I am a heads guy because everybody right says there. Tails. So I go.
I guess. You know, I mean, you're kind of, yeah.
I think somebody said that the tail side is, or one of the sides of the head side is
probably
slightly heavier. And that's why tails comes up more?
Interesting. Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some sort
of seems like an issue.
Yeah, I mean, right. You would think that somebody would figure that out. Also, like, our quarter, like, what's like the, I need to know, is this a silver dollar they're flipping?
Yeah.
Is it a quarter, dime, nickel, penny? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is it a specialized coin?
Yeah. This happened to the Niners and Raiders a few years ago, too. They had the same record, same tiebreaker, everything. And then I think the Niners took Mike McGlinchey with that pick, 13, I believe.
So we have like a million different tiebreakers in the standings where it's like conference record, division record, record when the sun's out, record when the baby's asleep, like all these things.
Right.
And they still just, they just at the end of the day are like, coin flip. Like, we're here. We'll just end it. Like, there's no, they got no other answer besides a coin. Like, I get it. I know I set it up. It's
some
impartial
things are just
and all
classic,
that stuff, but it's just
know?
Like, that's definitely something that they implemented, like, the first year that the NBA existed. And they were like, should we change this? Ah,
just
nah,
a real
fine.
Dusty coin. They still
working.
Have the coin somewhere.
Exactly.
In the Hall of Fame. All right. As we talk about basketball and trying to be in the history books, Philly and New York, that one may go down as one of the craziest endings, at least lately, when it comes to the NBA playoffs. And Chris, I'll let you kind of set this up. What happened? And a collapse from Philly, who, I mean, with Joel Embiid laboring, he can't even get up the floor. And even with that being said, the Sixers were in a position to win, and they were not able to close it out.
Yeah, it was one of the most crazy endings I think I've ever seen. Definitely, probably live, the most crazy ending I've ever seen. Like I said, definitely shades of Reggie Miller against the Knicks. Funny enough, they get their own version of it. And it was great that it was in the Garden, because you got one of the best crowd pops I think you'll ever hear. And truly, probably something that Knicks fans are going to talk about probably for the rest of eternity. So really cool moment. And just to kind of set the table, the Knicks were down 5 with under a minute to go. There's about 40 seconds left. The Knicks have the ball, bringing it down. Again, down 5, 96-101, and they just scramble. I mean, I think it's DiVincenzo running into the paint, kind of loses the ball a bit, finds Brunson wide open in the corner. Brunson kind of should probably just take the look, decides to take a little side dribble, get the rhythm, puts it up, hits it off front rim, bounces straight up in the air, and then right into the hoop. Knicks are now down two with, I don't know, like just under 30 seconds to go. And that's when really all chaos, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey shoves off a defender, gets open on the inbounds pass. You can kind of see on the replay, Jalen Brunson does tug at Maxey's jersey quite a bit. And nothing's called. Pretty physical. It's playoff basketball. You see Maxey kind of get it, and he runs into Josh Hart, who's also who's kind of sandwiching Maxey from the corner, and the ball goes in the air. Tyrese Maxey kind of gets it tipped out. Maxey then catches it, comes down, tries to pivot, loses his footing, face plants on the ground with the ball. There's another scramble, and again, hell breaks loose. Knicks get the ball. They take a three with Dante. He misses it.
Right.
They get the offensive rebound.
Hartenstein was a beast.
Hartenstein absolutely closed the game. Ends up getting the game-winning block after this as well. Gets the offensive rebound. Finds OG Anunoby on the perimeter. They swing it around back to Dante DiVincenzo, who absolutely cashes a three. Probably one of the biggest threes, if not the biggest shots in Knicks history in the past 20 years.
Easy.
Maybe the biggest shot that the Knicks have had. And it is just a madhouse. Knicks go up one with about 5 seconds to go. Like I said, on the other end, Tyrese Maxey gets it, goes pretty much gets the ball at half court, just beelines for the rim. Isaiah Hartenstein gets the block. Game over. Knicks win in incredible fashion. Again, Reggie Miller-esque. But as I mentioned, there's a lot of controversy there on that inbounds pass with Jalen Brunson grabbing Tyrese Maxey's jersey. A lot of physicality from Josh Hart on that little sandwich bump. And yeah, Nick Nurse, he wasn't too happy about the officiating. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Well, the first thing is obviously they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Yeah, and there you go. You can hear Nick Nurse clearly not happy. Calls it a melee for the ball there. And the Sixers, not just Nick Nurse, weren't happy about it. And this is from Tim Bontemps. The 76ers plan to file a grievance with the NBA over the officiating across the first two games of this series, a team spokesman has told ESPN and Tim Bontemps. Little sour there. Little sour grapes.
What
from the
comes
Sixers.
From a grievance?
Not really sure, because it's not a protest, so it's not
right.
Like you're contesting the results of the match. I guess it's just a formal complaint. I guess it's more of a, hey, we're putting you on notice league. I don't know if I've ever heard of this before. I don't know what this is meant to accomplish, but seems like a little bit of sourness from the Knicks and or from the Sixers. I will say, like, again, there was a lot of physicality on that. I feel like if the Kings were to be in that situation, it feels like a foul's probably called.
It feels like the Knicks, I mean, earlier
in
this
the garden
season.
Too.
Yeah, in the garden, no ref wants to be that person.
Exactly.
Remember earlier this season, Dante DiVincenzo literally chop blocked someone.
Yes.
I think it was it the Raptors or somebody like that, or the Pistons.
Yes, he like dove right at their knees. It was the Pistons.
And
there
was no call.
Right.
And I do think there's something to be said. I mean, when everybody knows, oh, the league is better when the Knicks are better, these refs have proven time and time again that they're human.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that person. They might be afraid of leaving the arena if they make that call.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a scary proposition for sure, especially, in the garden. You got, I mean, as much as, Staples Center or whatever they want to call it has the stars, like, Madison Square Garden's got it all. Like, yeah. I mean, you got Chris Rock.
Chris Rock was chilling there.
Pick your favorite celebrity. They're sitting courtside at that Knicks game. Nobody wants to be the person that upsets your favorite actor or actress or whatever.
Right.
And so I get how that's a really tough situation. And again, that's probably the best moment that the Knicks have had in 25 plus years.
And the Nick Nurse thing, I was telling you, Turtle from Entourage is posting now because he's, you know, New York guy. And Nick Nurse, to be fair, he's saying, I don't know if I have to run on the court, but he did not. He did.
Yeah.
He did. He wasn't. When you want to call a timeout, you call a timeout.
Yeah. You do run out onto the floor. You say, I'm going to stop the play because I am calling a timeout.
So
and they have
I think
to
it's a little
off.
Soft for him to now come back and say, I called it.
I made eye contact with the ref.
We have the proof, brother.
Yeah. No, and just for you guys to hear it, here's Mike Breen, who wasn't on the official. It was on TNT, so he didn't get to call the ESPN broadcast. Here's how Mike Breen sounded on the Knicks official broadcast.
To Hart, back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
This is Sacktown Sports.
10:45, getting into some Kings talk. We will be discussing Trissy Rodriguez's interview and piece that she did with the Kings and Malik Monk. Trissy is a good friend of ours that we see all the time. She does great work for NBC Sports California. So that is at 10:45. And we will break all of that down. Chris, can I be honest with you on something?
I hope so. What's up?
This Knicks thing,
uh-huh.
It kind of bothers me.
The fact that they are getting a beneficial whistle?
Everything. After that game one, people are upset that the Kings had some fun in the play-in game and Kings fans had some fun. And honestly, I think the whole thing is overblown. I think that you have Keon doing the night-night. You have Scott Freshour doing the night-night. And those things went viral. But Kings fans, I mean, nobody was running all over Doko. There was nothing crazy like that.
There was nobody saying, like, oh, this might be a playoff run that we just are about to stumble
exactly.
into.
Or, you know, acting like they didn't even act like Patrick Beverly. But you have the Knicks and the Knicks fans who, because it's New York
and because it's
the Mecca, they can do no wrong.
Right.
And
still
they win game
talking
one.
About Trae Young.
Chris, game they were saying bleep Trae Young. They win game one and they rush to the streets. Any other city does that. Any other fan base does that. They get roasted. Yeah. But because it's New York and it's the Mecca, it's good for basketball and nobody gets down like New York. And it just bothers me.
Right. No, I mean, it's fair because the Kings definitely had a longer drought. Like, the Knicks have been in a long drought, and I think that's why some people say
they were just
are
in
more
the playoffs.
Lenient. For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And they didn't get swept.
No. I think that it's just the fact that they haven't been in there for so long that people are letting them have their fun. But to your point, why aren't the Kings allowed to have any fun? They've had the longest drought of anybody. They haven't even won a playoff series. The Knicks won a playoff series last year, to your
point.
That's
what I'm saying.
Like, why can't we celebrate? And, you know, granted, this year probably would have been a crazy celebration if the Kings gave us something to celebrate. Mm-hmm. But, it's a great point. Like, because it's going to happen, and it's going to be a lot, not bigger scale than the Knicks. But if the Kings win a playoff series, it's going to look like we won the freaking World Series.
I just don't understand why the Knicks and the Knicks fans get a different set of rules than everybody else.
Yeah.
And maybe it's before my time.
You know?
Sure.
That's it. That's literally it.
And maybe I'm, like I said, maybe I'm missing the mystique of it all.
Yeah.
But any other, it's not even a Kings thing. Any other fan base does that, they're getting destroyed. Chris, it was pandemonium.
No, that's a fact.
In the streets.
That's just a fact. Yeah.
In
everybody
the streets.
Else. Everybody else is getting killed saying like, oh, I remember my first playoff
win.
And
right. Act like you've
that.
Been there before.
Act like you've been there before. Poverty, like, oh, this is what happens. Get one taste of success.
Hang the banner.
Hang the banner, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fair complaint for sure. It's definitely not created equal for whatever reason. And yeah, Knicks fans are definitely acting like, they're acting like this is brand new, which it is to them. But at the same time, we're told, you know, yeah, the Patrick Beverly thing is still memed, and that was a really big moment for Minnesota. And so it's just like, I don't understand. So what is it that, and granted, we are arguing with birds. Like, we are literally arguing with random internet people here. But what do they want? Because you lose, and are you supposed to just like, just lose with grace and not talk any trash, and then you win. Okay, you're supposed to celebrate, but you can't celebrate too much. You can't jump on the scores table. You can't go outside and yell and make side talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't figure out what is the ideal amount of celebration for any of this stuff.
And you know me, Josh Hart, he just gets on my nerves.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. He's all hustle, all heart.
No, I mean, he just gets on my nerves in a good way. I would love to have him on your team, but when he's not on your team. And now all of a sudden he can shoot threes.
Yeah,
so that just happened. All right, but we have Lakers, Nuggets, plenty of sound there to break down, and a crazy finish.
Yeah, it was, I wouldn't say arguably a crazier finish, but I mean, still nonetheless, if you watch that entire game, you probably got equal entertainment value out of it. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers were, I don't even know how much they were up by. It was double figures. Pretty significant. I think it was up as much as 20 in that third quarter. Mm-hmm. And by the time the fourth quarter started, I think the Nuggets had already cut it, to your point. I think you said earlier they had kind of done the thing where, all right, next time out, cut it to 15. Okay, get it from 15 to 10.
Yeah.
And now we got ourselves a game. And it felt like the Nuggets, who have been there, done that, won it all, they understood this. There's still a lot of time left, and we can still chip away no matter how ridiculous. I mean, AD was like 13 of 14 from the field with like 30 points, 12 rebounds. He was having a day. And then LeBron went crazy in the fourth. So the fact that the Nuggets just, I mean, they really did exactly what they did the entirety of last postseason. They just out-executed the Lakers. I don't know if the Nuggets had a bad possession the last 5 minutes of the game. I can't think of. They did have that one where Jokic kind of thought he got fouled and shot the half-court
shot.
That
was hilarious.
Then it ends in a Michael Porter Jr. three that he just splash cashes.
Yeah.
Like, I could not believe it. It was a crazy, crazy finish. And, you know, the Lakers, they played fantastic down the stretch. LeBron was an animal down the stretch. He did miss a wide-open three that could have given the Lakers.
He shouldn't have even taken that three.
Why not? I'm just curious, why not?
I just think he could have got to the lane. It's the same thing that people have complained about with LeBron before, because I don't think LeBron wants to go to the free throw line with the game on the line.
Very much so, absolutely. And, you know, he had just hit a three, but I agree that
he had hit a couple.
He did not need to take it. He could have. He had a ton of space. He'd been getting downhill like it was no problem all game. Probably shouldn't have taken the three. You're right. I didn't even really consider it. But, yeah, took the three, missed it, and then on the other end, man, it was a crazy, crazy finish. Jamal Murray hits I don't even know if there's a word for hitting that shot in that moment over AD, not scared at all. That's a big-time shot from a big-time player, and that's why people say Jamal Murray steps his game up in the postseason. It was incredible. And do we have the call of Jamal hitting that shot? Because it was absolutely ridiculous the level of difficulty that he had to have to fall away, hit this step back. Oh, again, over AD for game as they're making the comeback was insane. Here's how it sounded.
Overtime. I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. Gets it.
The Nuggets have won! There's our chicken wing man, Kevin Harlan.
It's a chicken wing. That was a crazy shot. Over AD. Everybody's crazy. You know, AD just said how the league doesn't like me. That's why I've never won DPOY Defensive Player of the Year. And then you get splashed.
That's right.
And then you fall into the bench. And look at KCP making sure that he doesn't get injured. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. All right. And now here is, and hopefully we have enough time for this post game.
Yeah, it's wild.
Here is the full post game of Anthony Davis after the shot.
To kind of piggyback off that one, can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? And what was? I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
That's it. He slams the mic down and then leaves.
The video is so good too. If you can have a second, go
with his shades on.
He's got the shades on. He's got his hair all did.
Yeah.
And he walked off, and it sounded like, I mean, you know, whatever, it's whatever, but he sounded like he was going to start tearing up there for a second.
It reminded me of, you know, baby Sal's is 1 year old today. We are literally entering Toddlerville, and she's showing it. And that was kind of Toddlerville right there.
Brutal. That's brutal. What's funny too, is that video just played comes from our friend, Sean Cunningham. He just put like 8 laughing emojis and tweeted that out. Just taking shots. You know?
I will say, after last year especially, we had the conversation after the Kings got eliminated, like, who do we root for, Warriors or Lakers in that playoff series? Mm-hmm. I still don't know if there's a good enough answer to that question, but I will say Lakers losing still hits, man. It still hits it was yesterday. Right. I will say
yesterday was chef's kiss because of the lead.
Yeah.
When they just get blown out, that's great. Not as fun.
A whole collapse and everything.
Yeah, I mean, when they throw a fit like that too, it's like you're saying at the top of the show, it's the players doing it, not just the fans. It's crazy because, you'll hear the LeBron audio, but it's arguably just as bad.
Let's play it. Let's go to the head of the snake.
I don't understand what's going on in replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the fuck do we have a replay center? This is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like, and then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
What and again, doing? Mike Slam.
Yeah.
Is he talking about the timeout with the Sixers Knicks?
No, he's talking about the physicality.
Yeah, the melee at the end. And I felt the same way. Then when I rewatched it, it was the jersey pull, but I don't know.
It was a physical play in general.
I don't know if I'm still not sure if Maxey got fouled when he fell to the ground.
Yeah.
I think he thought he got fouled, and we were watching thinking, why is he kind of giving the ball away.
Yeah.
I don't know what he thought. I probably couldn't hear anything.
I think he was trying to sell. Sell the foul.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, you know, that was pretty funny stuff from LeBron. And it's always fun when the Lakers lose. We also have, and I'm just going to start calling Nick Wright Lakers media because that's exactly what it is. When we return, before we get into the Trissy Rodriguez interview, we have some absurd
crazy
sound from Nick Wright. Absurd. Absurd.
I've never heard this before.
Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Quite a take.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Nick Wright sound about a couple minutes here, then we will get into Trissy Rodriguez's piece on Malik Monk and the Kings. Chris, I do have to ask this, and we're going to spend more time on this probably throughout the duration of the playoffs, assuming that the Nuggets finish the Lakers off and continue to play. But
let's hope so.
Jamal Murray. Got to be one of the most confusing careers that you could cook up. He's never been an all-star. He was an all-NBA. He was on the all-rookie team his rookie year. Hasn't been an all-star. He's had some injuries. He just always steps his game up. I know there's someone out there. He's just going to be habitually underrated because
of his inability to, I guess, perform at the same level he does in the playoffs all season long. He dealt with some injuries this season as well. But what a confusing career. I mean, you can't even correctly compare him to the other guards like De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell. I know you did the playoff tier list. I don't know where he fell, but how confusing of a career is Jamal Murray because of what he does in the regular season? Not that he's bad, but he's never been an all-star. But then in the play, and he didn't even shoot well last night, and he shows up in money time. I don't really know what to do with him.
He's still super young. I mean, he's 27. I don't think there has to be any definite on him yet. I mean, he's a season away or a couple months away from possibly being a two-time champion by the time he's 28. So I don't think any of his legacy has been cemented at all. I think he's still definitely in the we're figuring it out phase. I mean, I think health is the biggest thing with him. I think it's why he hasn't been an all-star is only because he hasn't been healthy in these past couple regular seasons. I think he's a great player. I mean, I think everyone kind of understands that, you know, he at this point is still just trying to get through the regular season and remain healthy. But in the postseason, I think there's a pretty good understanding that he's a Jimmy Butler type where he elevates his game, goes to a different level. And he is absolutely, it was proven last year, he's somebody who's capable of being the number two option on a championship team. And I think that's going to continue, and I think he's probably only going to get better the longer he can stay healthy consecutively. I truly think that health is the only thing that's keeping him out of being in the top 15, 25 conversations.
Yeah, and if he can't get anywhere near what he does in the postseason during the regular season at a consistent clip, he definitely will be at least an all-star one time and more than one. All right, let's hear. Before we switch over to the Kings, you have to hear this sound from Nick Wright. This was going into the game. This was on FS1. This is going into the game. This is what he had to say. And he says it tongue-in-cheek, but you know Nick Wright. He loves LeBron, and I don't know how much he was actually kidding.
Speaking of the tank, it's too late in this season, but the NBA probably at some point needs to look in this altitude thing. It seems like
hold on, Nick.
It
seems Denver like has never won a championship unfair. Until
well,
last year.
I get it.
All right,
it does seem unfair.
It just
I played
seems a
at
little,
altitude at an All-Star
yeah,
game, and it was it
seems
hits
a little
you.
Unfair.
It hits you.
I gotta
in about
tell
2 minutes.
Like this whole thing of like Denver never having, except for I guess Melo or Alex English, even like a Hall of Fame level player. Maybe that was the Dan Issel. Yeah. That's the way it was supposed to be. Because this is like they're just an unfair advantage. I'm not making any excuses,
but it seems
and I know it's going to get clipped, but you got to at least look into it. You got to do something.
Yeah,
like, give them extra timeouts or something. Man. I don't like it.
Should Michigan be looked into because they have too many fans at their football games?
Maybe.
That's a little suspicious, you know? You get a little extra boost. Like, you know, they're going to have a better home record because they have more fans than what everybody else does. That seems a little unfair to me.
How much do you think he was actually kidding? How much do you think?
No, I think he's joking like 2%. I think the only reason why he says he's joking is because he knows he's going to get flamed.
Yeah.
I think every bit of his soul, I bet when he was watching that game, he probably had somebody else. It was either a friend or maybe it was a significant other. Maybe it was his kids. He was telling somebody the entire time watching, look at that, they're gassed. This isn't fair.
Right.
I can't believe that. And I bet he was complaining the entire time. And then once he gets in front of the camera, he's like, I know I'm joking here, but we were all thinking it.
Yeah.
Crazy. Altitude is, it's like, bro, like, what are we talking? And it's also not the only sport that has to deal with it. Like, you know, nobody's saying, oh, the Denver Broncos have an unfair advantage because you're essentially being weighted down an extra 15 pounds with your shoulder pad and helmet and you're being asked to run. Like, what the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. It's pretty absurd.
I mean, I'm not saying what he's saying isn't true, that it is a major, major advantage, but to then say that we need to do something, like, what are we supposed to do about it?
Should we
call them the Denver Nuggets but have them play in Arizona? Like, what are we supposed to do?
That was the thing. I didn't know. And I do think he is... He's kidding, but he's not. For Nick and his brand, he can say, well, if LeBron didn't have to –
for Nick and his brand, he can say LeBron did this. Look at what LeBron did at altitude.
Right.
Right. Imagine if he wasn't at altitude. Sure. So Nick is always going to find a way to spin it in a way that helps his narrative. But yeah, everybody has to deal with it.
Yep.
That's why you try to keep the Nuggets, and they're not even the one seed, so they wouldn't even get that advantage. Nope, they just won their first championship last season. So I just don't know. The funny part is the league needs to do something. Well, what would they do?
I would be fascinated too. I clearly am not the model of health, but how does the getting acclimated to altitude work? Like, is it you train at altitude and then you're just solid? Like, if the Nuggets go on
a week and a half long
road trip, does it go away and then it hits them heavier on the way back?
Insight on that.
Do we know this is a fact? Before you go on here and say,
do you know the UFC fighter Tony Ferguson?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes.
Didn't answer my question. Do we know that this is a fact?
Let him cook.
Okay.
What I'm about to say is that the air is thinner.
Go ahead. Just go. It's fine.
All I'm going to say is that there's no hard evidence. That's it. He would go train up there in Big Bear, which is like the Tahoe version of LA's Tahoe, for like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come back to L.A. and it was just like gone. His being used to it, because he'd go back to L.A. for like a week or two and then go to Colorado or New Mexico.
It wouldn't last very long.
No. I think it helps the people who live there. Mm-hmm. So I do, just from what I've heard. But
what if the Nuggets go on
a week long
road trip?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it just kind of resets your body.
And the other question is, how long does it take? Because I do think it's interesting that they're still talking about it in game two. Game one, I get it. Game two, we just don't know. I know back in the day, it was you have a buddy who's into snowboarding and they say, bro, you got to go snowboarding or Tahoe as well. But when you have beverages in altitude, can enjoy yourself.
That's right.
Very quickly. Yeah. So we understand it's a thing. I'll tell you one thing. Before the Achilles, I was really big into the obstacle course races. Okay. So
like the Tough Mudder.
Tough Mudder, Spartan Race, things like that, right? So I purchased the Marshawn Lynch altitude mask, and I'd run around Alameda, and everybody was scared when I would be running around and training in Oakland and Alameda, and it was supposed to – one time a dog barked at me. I'm just trying to get my training
in. I'm your friend.
Yeah, exactly. I literally look like Bane. My buddy's joke called me the Bane mask, and it was – you had different compartments, and this was 10,000 feet. This was – 20,000 feet. Do I ultimately think it worked? I don't know. I mean, I did. I still got really tired. I think you have to do everything at that altitude. So for me, I was only running at that with the mask on. I wasn't doing the obstacles. Mm-hmm. So when I got, so when it was time for me to go, my running was fine. But then as soon as I did a normal obstacle, I didn't feel like, man, it's a good thing I trained at that altitude.
Yeah, and I mean, I know it's like a whole weird thing too, because if I'm not, and this is where I know I just asked Nate, or do we know what you're saying is true, but this is where I'm going to step over that boundary, and if I'm not mistaken, like, I know there's weird, like, blood doping essentially is something where that involves the altitude as well. I'm not saying any of these guys do that, but I just know that there's a bunch of different ways that you can get around this issue, and I know LeBron is somebody who's, since his rookie year, talked about sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber. So I just don't know how much any of this stuff really ends up actually affecting the game. I definitely saw some guys with their hands on their knees in the fourth quarter, but was it any worse than what it normally, like, we don't see guys straight up.
Is that why they
blew
a 20-point lead?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say so. I don't know, but I wouldn't say so.
I wouldn't say so either. All right. When we return, we go through the article from Trissy Rodriguez and what she had to say and what De'Aaron Fox had to say about Malik Monk, what Malik Monk had to say about Malik Monk, and we open up the phone lines 916-339-1140 for your reaction. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.